Hello, everybody. It's Jeremy and Stephanie from RVFTA.com, and it is the month of September, so we are taking a little bit of a break from full-length podcast episodes, but we will be with you each week with a 10 to 15 to maybe a 20-minute mini podcast episode, and all of these episodes will be focused on one great piece of content, and all of them will be sponsored by our friends at Truma.
Truma is a global leader in comfort technology, and they bring more comfort on the move to North American RVers. The revolutionary on-demand Truma AquaGo can swap out any 6 to 16-gallon RV water heater, and it also comes standard on many new RV models. Visit Truma.net to find a Truma-certified dealer and upgrade your RV water heater today. We sure upgraded ours, and whew, never looking back.
Warning, you may start taking longer showers.
Yeah, you don't want to dry camp anymore.
Because the temperature just stays at the same exact place. So you get it right where you want it, and it just stays there. It doesn't fluctuate.
All right. Now, this week, for our very first mini episode in September, we really wanted to focus on our experience using Outdoorsy, both as owners and as renters. Now, let's get the terminology down because it can be confusing.
Okay? It actually even gets me all confused.
Right. Okay. So what Outdoorsy does is they use two different phrases. So if you are a person who is actually renting out your own RV to other people on their platform, they call you an owner, right? Because you own the RV and you're renting it out.
So we're owners.
We are owners. And then if you are going and you're renting somebody else's RV for a short time to take on a trip, you are a renter.
So we are also renters.
And we are also renters.
We did both this year.
Right. So we really thought that this is a important and big trend in the RV space. This peer-to-peer RV rental, like a lot of, you know, back when Airbnb started coming out and people were like, that's crazy. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to let somebody stay in their apartment, or nobody's going to go and stay in somebody else's apartment. A lot of people thought it was just a nutso idea, and Airbnb is here to stay.
Well, it was a nutso idea. Yeah, and some of the best ideas are nutso.
Yeah.
And look, Outdoorsy just has thousands upon thousands of listings. Just punch in a look, go to the website, punch in a location where you might want to like fly in and rent an RV, or just even in your neighborhood if you want to rent an RV locally because you don't own one yet, there will be listings.
Yeah, there really are. And so we thought this is really important for RVers or wannabe RVers. So we decided to kind of dive in and really get a true experience ourselves. And we did that from both the owner side of things and the rental side of things.
And we rented, well, we're going to talk about the owner side first. And we rented Penny the Pop-Up Camper about four times. Mm-hmm. And we turned down about 10 to 15 requests because they were during weekends when we were away.
We were away for almost all the summer. We'll talk about that more when we go to the experience. But then on the flip side, we decided to actually rent an Outdoorsy unit on our trip out west. So this podcast episode is kind of all about our feedback on both of those sides of the Outdoorsy coin and kind of giving you some guidance if you're thinking about either becoming an owner or a renter.
All right, we got some great tips here. Let's dive in. So the first thing that you want to talk about, Stephanie, and you set up Penny the Pop-Up Camper. You listed her mm-hmm. on Outdoorsy initially. Could you just talk about that experience?
Yeah. So I've got five things that I learned from the owner side of things and five things that we learned from the renter side of things for this episode. And number one for the owner side of things is that the setup online as an owner is incredibly easy and intuitive. So one day last spring, we were sitting at the campground. I was waiting for you to actually dump the tanks at the dump station at Turkey Swamp Campground. And during that time, I registered Penny on the Outdoorsy site. I did it via mobile. And I went through, they had like the little options that you could check off everything. I happened to have pictures on my phone of Penny the Pop-Up to upload. So the whole thing I did in probably 10 minutes tops.
I think this is one of Outdoorsy's bigger edges over their competition, is that the website's a pleasure to use. Mm-hmm. The user interface is really easy, and that experience continues throughout the process.
Right.
It's not just the initial setup. It's actually communicating with the renters.
Oh, everything is so easy with the text messages and everything. So yes, I do think that you're right on that as an owner, the tech interface at every stage of the process is streamlined.
It's kind of fun to use.
It's idiot-proof.
So kudos to whoever designed it. Now, this is a great tip you have, Steph. You really think that the owner should front load as much detail and information as possible, and that that will streamline the process, the whole process of renting your RV. So can you go into a bit more detail about what you mean there?
Yeah. So this is my second tip. And I think that you can just, you know, obviously get your RV set up, check off what you have. Oh, I have 30 amp electric and this and power jacks and whatever. You can put all of that in there.
Even just being honest about the condition of the RV. So we were renting a 21-year-old pop-up camper, and you made that very clear.
Yeah, so I was very clear about this being a stripped-down camping experience. I said this is a no bells and whistles camping experience. But so I was very honest about that, but I learned a lot through the process. What I learned was that even saying things like, hey guys, so it has a refrigerator, but the thing is your refrigerator isn't going to be cold right when you get to the campground, because I know that as an RVer, but your renter isn't going to know that. So I learned that the hard way, where a renter showed up, I had set up the pop-up camper for them and I had plugged it in. So of course the refrigerator was on, but we all know that a pop-up refrigerator takes forever to cool down. Well, I think they showed up expecting a cold refrigerator, and it hadn't occurred to me to say, you know what, you're going to need a cooler because the refrigerator is not going to be ice cold.
And as you learn those lessons, you need to update the information, you know, and refine it so that you kind of perfect it.
Yeah, so I had made a checklist of the whole setup process and the whole breakdown process. And I actually did that by doing it myself. And every step that I did, I wrote it in the checklist in my notes, because I was like, I want this to actually be a checklist that's correct and not missing any steps. But at the end of the day, after my experiences, I realized it would also be helpful to film a video of the same process and to have that up on YouTube that people could just easily access when they're at the campground.
Right, just to put it up on a YouTube site and tell people where the address is, and then they can watch it before renting, and then they can refer to it if they have any trouble over the weekend. And while that may be not a lot of work, but it's some work up front, it could save you tons of work dealing with questions over and over again when you're renting the rig.
Yeah, that was one of my major lessons learned in renting out Penny, the pop-up, was that if you do that front loading of work and information, it's going to make the whole experience much more seamless for your future rentals. So you just want to make that investment, right? Whenever you have something that's going to make money for you, and Outdoorsy really has the potential to make money for you if you're interested in this. So if you want to do this as an actual business, think about investing in that business up front.
I would say that video is a must if you're really looking at this as a business as opposed to just a casual thing.
Yeah, renters will absolutely love it.
Now, we're in a great position to stock the RV well because we have a lot of camping gear. We've owned 4 different RVs at this point, and we were able to basically stock it with all the things that we've already owned. But you really recommend that people do stock it well. So for some of you, that might be an additional investment of money you need to think about. For others of you, you may have extra camping gear and you might have all that stuff already. But either way, Stephanie recommends you stock it well.
Yeah, it's my third tip because, you know, I want you to think about this as an Airbnb or a cabin rental, same type of thing. It's not that people will necessarily expect you to have everything they need. The problem is that people don't think of what they need. It's hard, right? You never remember what you need until you're there. And then all of a sudden, you're about to open a nice bottle of wine at the campground and you realize, oh my gosh, I don't have a bottle opener because, you know, maybe somebody doesn't carry a bottle opener or a spatula or those little things you don't think to pack. That can make or break the rental experience for your customer. So I would highly recommend, and I really don't actually think it's that much an investment because you can use the dollar store and like stock up on just a basic kitchen set, basic things. I highly recommend you do that. Don't think, oh, well, I don't want to have all the stuff that gets broken and lost. Like nobody wants, like, I always remember that one cabin experience that we have, and we're going to talk about cabins later on this season because I've learned a lot about cabin rentals in our experience, but I'll never forget showing up to a cabin that had not one single kitchen item in the entire kitchen. And I was shocked And it kind of ruined a lot for me.
It made it a lot more
difficult. It was so weird. And there was nothing in any of the cabinets or drawers.
And it's like, so the communication matters so much. I mean, you want to stock it well, and you want to let people know what you're stocking it with when they look at the rental. All right, the next tip was really kind of a fun and cool and interesting part of the whole experience for me. You recommend that you create packages for additional fees. And for us, that meant a pickup and drop-off package where we would actually bring it to the campground and return it. And then also additional gear that you might need. So could you tell us a little bit about those two packages and give the prices that we charged?
Oh, okay. Yes, I'll try to think of what I actually charge for them. So I think that this is one of the great things that Outdoorsy does is they offer you the opportunity to do add-ons, right, that people can either take or not take. And I love that about this experience because in my mind, I think that delivery and setup are just such a great opportunity for the Outdoorsy platform. If you live in an area where people come to for vacation, if you are in the Smokies area, if you're in the Disney area, if you're in any of these areas, you have money sitting in your driveway in your RV.
Great point. Even if you just have two or three good campgrounds near your house.
Yeah. So if the one thing that bothers you is thinking about somebody towing or driving your rig, really think about doing a delivery option on your RV or, you know, and you can just drop it off for people and set it up and then basically they're using it like a cabin.
If that's the one thing that is keeping you from renting your RV, you could rent it only with a delivery package.
Mm-hmm.
You could only rent it to people who wanted it locally where you're dropping it off. It's going to limit your ability to really maximize profit, but it could also be the thing that gets you into the game.
Yeah, those are my favorite experiences with Penny the Pop-Up, honestly. I love that delivery package because I felt like I was taking care of all the hard work for people and they were just getting the camping experience.
And we made extra money.
Right.
It was work, but it was work for money.
Yeah. So I charged $100 for delivery and setup, and that was at a very specific campground that's not far away from our house. So I felt like that was reasonable to go drop it off and pick it up. Now, was I getting rich off of that? No, but I felt like it was reasonable on both ends.
We were compensated for our time.
Yeah, exactly. The other package that I put together was like a camp gear package because my idea with Penny was that it would give parents whose kids are bugging them to camp the opportunity to have that experience without going and buying a tent and buying sleeping bags and all that stuff, which is honestly a lot of time what happens is that like people like buy a bunch of camp gear for one time.
Well, and then spend $500 getting a tent and sleeping bags and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't want to spend that $500, they might very well be willing to spend $100, $150 to rent that whole package from you.
And ours wasn't even that expensive. So I put together a package that included camp chairs and a Coleman camp stove and propane and a few other lanterns and things like all that like camp gear that you would need.
I overstated the price. So what did you charge?
It was 50 for that. And again, that's just found money because we own all of that stuff. And so that's just extra that we're making. And then we bring it back and we can clean it and it's ready to go for the next one. So, you know, those felt like good packages to me and I enjoyed them, you know, and I enjoyed offering them and I had a high take on them too. So
almost every time.
Yes, exactly. I think I'm sitting here thinking, I think every single rental that I did, was either the delivery and setup and or the camping gear package.
A lot of people have no idea what they're doing and they have none of the gear. And you can provide that for them and you can make money doing it. I really think the packages are important and a great way to make more money with each rental. Now, this last one, I told you the entire time you weren't charging enough.
Yeah.
And by the end of renting it four times, I think you finally agreed with me.
I agreed early on. I think I had I just wanted to do it, and I didn't want people to feel like I was raking them over the coals.
Stephanie rented Penny for $50 a night. Now, there's a way in which that makes sense, because you could find a motorhome that's worth $80,000 for $175, $200 a night. So it's like, well, how much can I charge for a 21-year-old pop-up camper? But as I've thought about the whole experience more, you had to do just as much work to get that rental ready mm-hmm. as the person who owns an $80,000 motorhome.
If not more.
Because if not more. So that has to be accounted for in what people pay.
Yeah. So my recommendation to you is to charge enough to provide exceptional service.
So that if somebody calls you on the weekend, you're not annoyed.
Right.
That so I'm being paid for this.
Yeah. You need to see it as a package deal that pays for your time, because people might text you with a problem or a question during the weekend, and you need to feel good about responding and helping them with that. Now, I have another suggestion that I learned through talking with the person we rented from, Kelly. She actually increased her minimum night stay. And I think that that's another way that you could address this. So in other words, I could keep my price for Penny the same, but maybe have a 3 or 4 night minimum. And what that does is it means that I'm not doing all of the front end work and the back end work, right, of renting out and taking in for Penny, a weekend was $100.
Stephanie to go to like $75.
Right.
And you know, but here's the thing. Also, you can adjust the price mm-hmm. and there's just supply and demand at work. So once people started requesting Penny a lot, well, then it becomes sort of obvious. It's business 101. You can raise the price,
yeah.
right? Now,
yeah.
So you might need to play around with your price. You might list your rig mm-hmm. for $100 and tons of people call for it. That could be an indicator you could raise the price. Or if you list it for $100 and it's a beat up old pop-up camper and nobody's calling, you might need to lower your price. This is common sense, the
All
pricing.
Right. So here's my bonus tip for owners. Right? Those are my 5 tips that I learned, but I have another. This is something more of a thought after doing this, is that Penny was sort of a rental experiment for us. I didn't actually get Penny, the pop-up camper, thinking I was going to rent her out.
It wasn't a thought at all when you bought
it. No, it wasn't. It was just more of an experiment. And the experiment actually worked really well because we learned a lot and we feel like we have our finger a little bit more on the pulse of this rental situation now. So what I would say is that if you don't already have a rig to rent, but you're thinking about that for getting your new rig, right? You're thinking that might be a part of your experience and you want to make sure you think about the ideal rental. And I would say that a pop-up is not that. A pop-up is almost the worst because there's so many moving parts and steps in the process to setting up and breaking down a pop-up that it's actually a little overwhelming for people that have never done it.
And there are more things they can break.
Exactly. There's more moving parts.
So the sweet spot to you, and I totally agree with you, seems like a smaller mm-hmm. towable that's fully enclosed. And I think the smaller it is, the more people that can actually tow it,
yep.
and the more you're going to rent it. So once you get into a much larger unit, there are very few people that can tow
right.
it. But of course, you could still rent a 30-foot RV.
I would recommend getting a lightweight, the most lightweight camper you can that can sleep the most people, right? So you want to be able to do like 2 to 6 people for families. So like those smaller trailers that have the queen, the bunks, 2 bunks, and the dinette.
And look, we know people that have bought those types of trailers for $10,000.
Yeah.
That's a viable business opportunity. Mm-hmm. To rent that trailer.
Yeah.
You know, if you're buying a trailer for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, well then yeah, you could you could make enough money to take care of that monthly payment. It's going to be harder to make it a profitable business. But there are certain RVs out there that are such a low price point, they could make a great business opportunity for rentals.
And I think with motorized, the same thing. The shorter the better, but also sleeping space, right? So it's like this balance. Don't go so small that a family can't rent your motorized rig, but don't go so big that the typical person who doesn't have a lot of experience doing motorhomes is going to take out a gas pump on their way.
You're making me think that a hybrid might be a nice compromise.
I think
it's not
a hybrid,
so hard to use
yeah.
and set up and unfold and fold back up, but yet there's a lot of sleeping space and they're shorter, easier to tow, and lightweight. That's a direct. I mean, look, I would like to buy a more serious rental.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have Stephanie on the same page with me. I wouldn't mind buying something used, a nice used hybrid for $5,000 to $8,000, and actually making it a legit part of our business.
Oh, I'm totally in favor of that. The only problem is that the right rig hasn't presented itself, because unfortunately, people who are selling their rigs think that they're worth far more than they are. They really do.
That's what negotiating's for.
Well, you know what? Not when people think, oh, I just bought this and
people
I kept it in such good
shape. People ask crazy prices.
They do,
and
honestly.
That's why you just got to make an offer.
I know what rigs are worth, and a lot of people are on Facebook Marketplace asking too much.
Okay. Let's move to the second part. We were also renters. We rented a rig through Outdoorsy that we picked up outside of Minnesota, and we brought to South Dakota for about 2 weeks, And man, oh man, it was a wonderful, awesome experience. We did not want to bring our 34-foot, 9,000-pound toy hauler all the way out to South Dakota, and there were other reasons why it wouldn't have worked either. I don't want to get into all the complications. So we thought we would pick up a shorter, lighter rig close to South Dakota and bring it in, and it worked out wonderfully.
Yeah, I mean, it really... It did check all the boxes that we hoped to check. And of course, overall, the experience was exactly what I think an outdoorsy experience should be. The owner, Kelly, was phenomenal.
And she had good reviews. Mm-hmm. You can review people on Outdoorsy. And just like buying anything or renting anything, reviews matter. Kelly had really good reviews, and that helped us feel confident.
Yeah, and she had earned her good reviews because she was great at this. She was, I think, the perfect example of an Outdoorsy owner. Really, I think, following a lot of my tips. In fact, my tips, you know, I learned from Kelly, from our experience with Kelly and what would be the ideal experience. So like Kelly did have so much information about her rig front-loaded and was so good at communicating with us and really was a connection. She was a communication connection with us. We never felt like we couldn't email her or message her and get a response from her.
We had such great communication with her, even down to whether I should bring my own coffee machine or she had a coffee machine, just so that before we left, like, I felt totally prepared and we didn't have those moments where we're out in South Dakota and like, oh my God, we don't have a can opener. You know, like, we knew what was in the RV. She knew what we were bringing. She even offered to give us some camp chairs that weren't part of her package because she realized that we needed them. So having that dialogue and that messaging back and forth through the Outdoorsy platform is invaluable, and it works really, really well. It's easy to use, in other words, to just be messaging each other through the platform, and you are not allowed to take the messaging off the platform because I believe you could lose the insurance or just the deal does not go through.
And that makes
all the sense in the world. They don't want people going offline and hammering out different deals.
Yeah, because then you're,
But it works really well through their platform.
All right. So now here are my tips then for renters. Right? Not everybody's going to be doing things like we were, this crazy trip out somewhere and then picking up an RV, right? Most people are going to do it a more standard kind of looking for an RV in their area or looking for an RV to where they're traveling to. So my tip number one is to check out delivery options if you're destination camping somewhere. So if you're thinking about going to Disney,
there's lots of delivery options.
Look on Outdoorsy and look for RVs where they'll deliver for you. We actually had an RV delivered the first year that we went to Disney. We just showed up and it was there. Fantastic opportunity.
We fly in, we rented a car, we drove to the campground, we had a rig set up at Fort Wilderness.
If you're going to the Great Smokies, if you're going to any of these places where a lot of people RV every year, and you don't want to drive all the way there, you don't want to tow all the way there, look for people who will just drop it at the campground.
The RV geek in me, I just love surfing around Outdoorsy and seeing what's available. Like, I've looked at what's available in our area just because I'm curious. What are people renting? How much are they charging? What services and packages are they offering? If you're thinking of renting your rig, go and look at what a bunch of other people are doing. Or if you're thinking about renting a rig, surf around and look at different offerings.
All right. Tip number two, you want to double and triple check that you're renting a rig that you will be safe and comfortable towing or driving. So that was something that I had to have my ducks in a row on as an owner. And when anybody reached out to me, I'd always be like, can you tow something that weighs this much, right? Like, no, if you're planning on towing, know your numbers on whatever your tow vehicle is before you start looking at different rigs. Or if you're, you know, looking at a motorhome, think about what length you'll be comfortable driving. You know, really think about that experiential process.
And also ask what tow equipment they're providing. Are there sway bars? What comes with it? Are you expected to bring any of that to the table yourself? Have very clear communication.
Okay, so that's tip number three. Communicate with the owner on everything, right? The tow equipment and the supplies. You want to make sure that you know what they provide. We've mentioned that in the owner end of things, Kelly had the perfectly stocked travel trailer. I never had 1 minute in our entire trip where I felt like, oh, we don't have this.
Well, she even had more than we needed. Like, there were little things there that we might have needed. Like, she had a can of WD-40. You know, like, I think she had duct tape. Like, she'd thought through what people might might need on a trip. It was very thoughtfully prepared.
Yeah. So if you're a renter, you don't want to wind up without a coffee maker. That's going to bum you out, you know? Things like that, that if you're staying in a hotel, are usually provided for you. You want to make sure that that's going to be in the rental also.
Since we keep shouting out Kelly.
Yeah.
Her name is Kelly Erpelding, if I'm saying it correctly. It's a Jayco X213 rented out of Minnesota. If you look at Minnesota and you use keyword Jayco, only a few will pop up, and one of them is Kelly's X213 hybrid. Go rent it. Kelly's awesome.
Now, an example of this is that I had brought a queen sheet instead of a king sheet for our bed for her rental. Now, that wasn't because Kelly didn't list the right beds or anything. That was just me as a renter not double checking the sizes of the beds as I was gathering my linens, right? So just make sure as a renter that you know exactly what you need for the rig, because that will make your experience a lot better.
So Stephanie, your fourth tip, I think, is a really, really important one. Keep it simple if you're a newbie. Now, what do you mean by keeping it simple with your first rental where you are renting someone else's rig?
All right. So we've been talking about our experience going out to, you know, Minnesota and picking up an RV and heading out to South Dakota. That's a pretty big trip. And if you have no experience with towing an RV and this is going to be your first travel trailer experience, you know, I'm not sure that you want to be combining that with some sort of epic trip. I wouldn't. I think that if you're trying to get a handle on towing, right, or a travel trailer, or you're wondering if this is a good option for your family, and you're sort of using Outdoorsy to test out the whole RV lifestyle thing, I would really recommend staying close to home. I would recommend keeping your whole travel plan very simple. One campground.
Yeah, I think like one campground. Yeah. Don't go on that epic national park trip where you're going to four campgrounds in four different states and in someone else's RV, you know? And again, if you're a newbie, if you're a veteran RV owner, look, we rented one and we spent 12 days in South Dakota at four different campgrounds.
But we're not surprised by anything that comes down the pike with an RV, right? Like if there is a black tank issue, if there's a whatever, we just troubleshoot our way through it because we've had now four RVs, you know? So I think that you just have to think about what your goals are, right? With this whole experience. And if you're just trying to test out the RV lifestyle, make sure that you keep it simple and enjoy camping.
Yeah, maybe don't go somewhere that's highly trafficked mm-hmm. or urban camping or near a city. You know, go to a campground that you know is going to be easy in and easy out.
All right, now five is like the next step in that. So if you do get a little more adventurous and you are having a bigger plan, like say you're renting a motorhome and doing that big national park tour, you know what? Get the roadside assistance if you don't have your own already. Now, some of us may have roadside assistance, but you need to double check that that will include an RV. So if you are renting and you end up, something happens, that rental could be perfectly good and everything could be fine with the rental, but something happens and you end up on the side of the road. You know, roadside assistance will make or break your experience.
Absolutely could. I would recommend getting it 100%.
Don't try to skimp and save on that one. Definitely invest.
And I think the last thing I'd like to say is give it a shot. You know, if you're the person thinking about renting your RV, give it a shot and see how the experience goes and then recalibrate your thinking on it. If you're the person considering renting an RV, we had a blast. I loved it. I would, even though we are RV owners, in certain situations, I would absolutely rent somebody else's RV again. It's also a fun way to try different types of RVs.
Yeah. If you want, you can hear more about our experiences with that. Like we were able to rent a Class C down in Florida through Lazy Days, and that's on our website. If you type in RVFTA Lazy Days rental into Google, that will pop up. And, you know, we talk about all the different ways that that makes sense in certain situations.
I mean, some of the more traditional rental companies have all the same type of RV in their fleet, like the same type of Class C. But if you're thinking about buying a hybrid or a pop-up camper or a Class C or a small Class B, it's very possible you could find something kind of similar to what you're thinking about on Outdoorsy. You could rent it for a weekend and see if you want to buy it. Great way to use that platform.
Okay. So speaking of which, we do have codes from Outdoorsy that are going to either save you money or make you money. Okay. So the first one is if you go to rvfta.outdoorsy.com to sign up as an owner, to put your rig for rent up on the platform, you will get $100 rebate on that, which I think is a pretty cool offer for just signing up your RV.
$100 bucks.
Yeah, $100. And then if you want to try renting an RV yourself, you can use code RVFTA at checkout and you get $50 back, which again, that would be a free night in Penny.
Free night in Penny. And if you rented her for two nights, we would only make $50.
We would make the money. Outdoorsy gives the rebate.
I wonder
not
if
the owner.
You were the cheapest rental option on
of
all
course.
Of Outdoorsy.
That's why everybody was
not
trying
locally,
to rent Penny.
I mean, the entire country.
I don't know. Everybody wanted to rent
I want to find an RV for rent for $35 a night and see if somebody undercut you.
Anybody
nationally.
Come in under me.
Anyway, hope that everyone enjoyed this, and we will see you next week for another mini episode. And more importantly, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.